Thank you very much for inviting me to this meeting. I am now full of inspirations. And so that this is a wonderful encounter between Christianity and Buddhism. And many words, for example, just to take up the words, and so wakefulness, that is wonderful. I like awareness, and very similar. Ajahn Sumedho, his master, Ajahn Sumedho, gave me this idea. Awareness, the importance of awareness. And then you talked about wakefulness. It is very, very impressive and inspirational. I remember forever. And also you talked about self-emptying. Self-emptying. So that is... And through self-emptying, God comes in. That reminds me of Eckhart. Meister Eckhart. And so I am very, very happy to be here today. Much, much fruitful day today, this is. But my English is not very good, so not good enough. So I prepared my handouts. So I was talked about
10 minutes,
but yes, but... I was told 7 minutes. And 7 minutes about Trikaya. That's very, very difficult. So I made a draft. So I'll read out. Please allow me to have this different form. I've been asked to speak to you on the subject of the three types of Buddhakaya: Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirvanakaya, to be found in Mahayana Buddhism. First of all, I would like to say a few words about the development of the notion of Dharmakaya, or truth body, literally truth body, in Mahayana Buddhism. Over time, people were awakened to Buddha's Dharmakaya as something different from his Rupakaya, or physical body. Although the Buddha's physical body, Rupakaya, had long since passed away, the truth he had taught lived on within his indirect disciples. In Mahayana Buddhism, people thought that the essence or true body of the Buddha was actually the Dharma to which the Buddha had been awakened. This they called Dharmakaya. Even after Shakyamuni Buddha's death, his indirect disciples found his Dharmakaya, Shakyamuni's Dharmakaya, still working within them, constantly with wisdom and love, two essential aspects of the Buddha. The Dharmakaya in itself is formless and indescribable. But the very fact that it has no form means that it can assume every possible form. Thus, the Dharmakaya can freely manifest itself as form. As the notion of Dharmakaya developed in Mahayana Buddhism, together with the ideal of the Bodhisattva, the concept of Sambhogakaya also came into being. The key to clarifying the three different types of Buddhakaya lies in the notion of Sambhogakaya. The meaning of Sambhogakaya is closely related to the ideal of the Bodhisattva, someone who benefits not only oneself, but also others at one and at the same time. Roughly speaking, Sambhogakaya was translated into Chinese in two ways. Firstly, enjoyment body, juyushin in Japanese, and later reward body or body of recompense, hojin. When Sambhogaka is translated as body of recompense, emphasis is laid on the Buddha of Sambhogakaya having come into being as a result of long practice as a bodhisattva, based on his own original vow. What this Buddha is actually doing after the attainment of Buddhahood in his pure land is enjoying this, receiving the fruit of supreme enlightenment. At the same time, enjoying others receiving the fruit of supreme enlightenment. In Mahayana Buddhism, the two acts of benefiting oneself and benefiting others go hand in hand. They are not separate from one another. The idea of enjoying receiving the fruit of supreme enlightenment can't exist independently of the notion of taking pleasure in others doing so, and vice versa. Amida Buddha is one of the Buddhas of Sambhogakaya. To help us toward an understanding of Amida Buddha, it is very important to clarify the relation between the Sambhogakaya and Dharmakaya in itself, the ultimate formless truth. This is sunyata, emptiness. According to Tan Luan, a Chinese monk in the Pure Land tradition, there are two modes in the Dharmakaya whose manifestations are bodhisattvas and buddhas, Dharmakaya's manifestation. One mode is the Dharmakaya as Dharma in itself, Dharma itself, so pure Dharma. And the other is the Dharmakaya in its manifested form, which pertains to Sambhogakaya. The manifested form exists depending on the Dharma in itself. And the Dharma in itself is known by expressing itself in its manifestations. These two modes are distinguishable, but are not to be regarded as two independent existences. They are one yet not to be identified. He says that to Dharmakaya itself and Dharmakaya's manifestations are fusing to each other and interpenetrating. And the Dharmakaya as Dharma itself and the Dharmakaya in its manifested form are mutually interdependent. Amida Buddha's Dharmakaya as Dharma in itself is formless and timeless, or if you like, eternal. Shinran, the founder of a tradition, describes this aspect of the Amida Buddha as Amida Buddha who attained Buddhahood in the timeless past. The phrase in the above quotation, the manifested form exists depending on the Dharma in itself, signified that the manifested form of Amida Buddha, Sambhogakaya, as related by Shakyamuni Buddha, Nirmanakaya, in the Raja Sutra of Eternal Life, is firmly based on the Dharma in itself, Dharmakaya, or formless truth. Thus, Amida Buddha, who attained Buddhahood in the timeless past, that is the Dharmakaya as Dharma in itself, can be known or felt only through his manifested form, or Sambhogakaya. In Mahayana Buddhism, all Buddhas are considered to have attained enlightenment as a result of their long practice at the bodhisattva stage. In this respect, any Buddha, even Shakyamuni Buddha, could be regarded as the Buddha of Sambhogakaya. In the case of Shakyamuni Buddha, however, it is more appropriate to see him as the Buddha of Nirmanakaya, or manifestation body. One who appeared in this world, who taken on the form of human being. Shakyamuni is a Buddha who was awakened to the Dharma, who had been in existence since before time began. He is therefore a Buddha of Nirmanakaya, manifestation in human form of the Dharmakaya. In a Puran tradition, what is most important of all is pure faith in Amida Buddha. It is through faith alone that we can be born in the Buddha's pure land. In Shin Buddhism, however, the essence of faith lies in awakening to the irredeemable reality of our karmic existence, and awakening to the unconditional love of Amida Buddha. They are two aspects of one and the same truth. To conclude, I would like to share a short poem I wrote on the relationship between form and formlessness. Great nature, the very origin beyond form, moves within and touches us, ignorant individuals. And we are called and awakened to what we are. The very origin, Buddhakaya, expresses itself in involving in one each one of us, individual beings, and we rejoice immensely in awakening and call the Buddha's name. These are two sides of the same coin. The only reality is the working of the name Buddha, the great living beyond all duality, in praise of the infinite light of eternal life. What I prepared this is that I was also very much impressed by Jesus prayer. So that is like I said the working of the Nembutsu. Nembutsu is pronouncing Amida's name. This is like Jesus prayer in Christianity.
Thank you, Professor Satsawa. Would you like to respond?
Yeah, I would love to invite Venerable Jeshu to respond.
It is my pleasure. The chance to sit down here and discuss the dialogue between Christian and Buddhism regarding some of the terms that maybe we face in our belief, in our practicing. But actually, for Buddhism, the emptiness, if we feel that we are empty, then we won't be here. So actually, emptiness is literally, we know that there is empty. But if there's in Buddhism, there is a word, verses. Have emptiness with existence. If this room is not empty, then there won't be existence. So emptiness, there should be something also included, something that appears from emptiness. We can hold something in emptiness. So this is the stage that we human beings, that we can experience. But to the higher stage, then maybe we won't feel that. We meditate, when we close our eyes, there's nothing, there's empty. But it's still, maybe sometimes you feel peace, there's nothing, thought arises. But later, some noise interrupts you, and then it arises again, and then it assists you again. So it's not, maybe it's, we are not having the profound knowledge to understand emptiness. Because once we understand emptiness, we have already awakened. We have enlightened. So So, but now we are discussing, we try to, you know, to everybody try to discuss how we are going to look for this emptiness. Emptiness in the Heart Sutra is that there's no form, no nothing, no eyes, no ears, no, but when we open our eyes, they all existent. We are human beings. We still have the physical body here. But it is that we, how are we going to apply to our daily life that emptiness, the benefit of emptiness in our mind? And that's why the Heart Sutra is a wisdom. The 260 words in Chinese that get it from the Paramita Sutra. This is 600 volumes. So from this main point of the Paramita, so how we're going to use our consciousness, our wisdom to understand emptiness. So I mean, maybe we can, everybody can contemplate on that. But it depends on the stage. How is your practicing going on? If you are already assisting, everything assisting, you are grabbing on it, or you want to hold on it, then that is not emptiness. But if you already let go of something in your daily life, maybe you can, that is speechless. You can't feel emptiness, but you can feel that you have already let go of something from your mind. But that is actually also existence. So existence or non-existence, then how are you going to express in your deeper way of thought? Then it's quite difficult to understand what is emptiness really means to our daily life. So that is why we try to practice a lot. As Christianity or as Buddhism, we are trying to practice, we're contemplating, we're meditation, develop mindfulness. That actually is to try to get rid of all kinds of suffering from our mental, from our thought, or from our physical body. For example, if you feel sick, then you wouldn't have a lot of confidence on yourself. So physical and mentality, there is to be also have to have the parallel to practice together. So actually Heart Sutra is to understand yourself, reflect to yourself, whether you have your greediness, your hatred or your ignorance is existing extremely, or you already by practicing you are already carried slowly, lower down all these three poisons, everything in your mind or in your surrounding. If you are, let's say, we are the Buddhist leader, if we are still have this anger or this emotion, then how are we going to guide and lead the people around us? So from Heart Sutra, actually, there is always tell us not to grasp on yourself, attachment to yourself, attached to yourself. Just have to be practice, and then till you are ready, everything that you can feel humble, that you can feel that I can serve for anyone that in my society or in the group, that is the loving kindness. Through myself, I practice meditation. It's not easy to love everybody. I mean, here, anyone here, it's not easy. But what I can do, I have to sit down when I have my practicing. I will send in merit, sharing, recite like Heart Sutra or any other sutra or the mantra to transfer the merit to the person or to anyone that comes to help us. That is the way in the daily life that we practice, I practice. Though I can't do it facing each other. I can feel that I'm easy with you, but at least when I meditate, I can do it that way. Slowly, I develop this compassionate way of life, of love, that to anyone that helping or anyone. There is not different religious anyone that live in this universe. So emptiness is not easy to understand or not easy, I mean, to assist. So from emptiness, but we from emptiness that we can learn knowledge. We have to empty first, then we empty our self. So influences that we can develop our wisdoms, then only we can learn what is the reality of the emptiness. But once you have attained, like in traditional, the Chan master, the Gong An, it also always helps you to relieve yourself, and then you can attend the stage. You empty yourself first, and this extending the stage. Then the final stage is to be Nirvana. I mean, maybe the ultimate emptiness, that the joyful emptiness that you have already attained through yourself. That is the final part. But the worldly part that we are now assisting in this world, we just try to empty our three poison, greediness, hatred, and ignorance, through Heart Sutra, that is the wisdom. Yeah, that is what I understand and try to practice in our daily life. I'm maybe others have different point of view of practicing how they get rid of defilement from the mind, but I think emptiness, it doesn't mean and everything is empty. Emptiness means something is existing. So I hope though I'm not there, because we're too quite busy in our society. Every day we have activity, and every day we have to teach the devotees. But we are learning through teaching. From the devotees, we can reflect to ourselves whether we are enough to understand them. We're enough to empty ourselves, to accept all the things that, you know, to share this suffering. Or whether we have emptied ourselves, our way of thought, from other believing. So, and through this gallery, we empty ourselves, and then we accept different points of view from it. So the first stage of emptiness, that we have to accept people's faith, people's belief. Then only we can go up further to the higher stage of emptiness, that is giving love easily, helping other people easily without discrimination. That is have to practice through Heart Sutra, the Prajnaparamita wisdoms. That's my point of view. Okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you very much for your contribution. According to our agenda,
perhaps I can make just one very brief response on emptiness, and then I'd be very grateful for questions. As I understand this question about emptiness, what it seems to me to be saying is that our danger lies in separating ourselves from truth, as if truth were at a distance, as if the divine were at a distance from us, as if this world were at a distance from us. I step back into my solid identity. I fix on this part of the world or that part of the world. I interact with it and seek to control it myself at a distance. And emptiness, I think, teaches me there is no distance. I am already apart. And I am already in contact, as a Christian, with God. I do not have to cross that distance. And when I understand that I'm not crossing a distance to meet God, then perhaps that helps me to understand I'm not crossing a distance to meet the world. It's not that I have this eternal, protected identity which floats above everything and somehow has to organize the world. That, I don't know if that sounds familiar, but that is how I think I would understand the notion of emptiness. And I recall here another saying of St. Maximus, where he speaks of the state of human awareness that was given at the very beginning to human beings is a state in which all the sensations and understanding all work together simply in presence to the world. And as we contemplate, we seek to re-enter that state of, I think he does use the word synesthesia. He doesn't mean what we might mean in English by it, but the synesthesis, the coming together of experience and sensation of the world, where there is no distance to be overcome.